All right. Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. About a year ago, my father-in-law gave me a phone number. He said, you need to call this guy, Frank. He used to play for the Flags. You'll know who he is. And I looked it up and I said, oh, yeah, I know who that is. And so we scheduled Frank a couple weeks ago to come on the show, and then it was the day that I got sick, and so we had to cancel. But we finally got Frank Golombrowski on the show, and this is fun for me. I'm a history buff. I mean, I wasn't around in 65, 66, but I recognize all the names when I look at the roster. I met several of the guys. I know Lloyd Maxfield was on that team, and Lloyd used to watch the games at McMorrin when it was the Border Cats and all the other teams that we've had, and he and his wife sat right down in the section beneath me, so I would talk to Lloyd quite a bit. And, of course, I worked for John Wismer early in my radio career, and Mr. Wismer was the owner of the team. But the 65-66 team, your rookie season, you guys won the Turner Cup after just kind of a so-so regular season. Is it a true story that Mr. Wismer came in before the playoffs and kind of read you guys the riot act?
Yes, that is a true story. Either Maxie or Tom Clark or Billy McLean probably told you that.
So what happened? I'm trying to picture this because for those that don't know, Mr. Wismer could be a pretty gruff guy. And when he had something to say, he didn't mince words. He just said it.
Well, we ended up fourth in the league, and we had to play Muskegon in the first round, who were the first place team, and very strong team. And at one point, Wismer did come into the office saying, if we don't win, we're going to be losing money. I guess that's kind of the gist of it. So we did get the Riot Act, and maybe that motivated us to go on to win and turn a cup.
You guys played particularly well. You played particularly well. Your rookie season, you scored a team-leading 46 goals. And this is a team that had Billy Lacane, Frank Sammarsay. There were some really good players. Ken Gribbins was on that team. Of course, Maxie was on that team. I think he had some injuries that year.
Head injuries, that's correct.
But to be a young player, to come into a team loaded with stars like that and score more goals than anybody else, that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Well, I was, number one, I was very lucky because back then, you got to remember there was only six NHL teams, so it was very difficult for good hockey players to step up the ladder. And coming in as a 21-year-old rookie, many teams didn't even have rookies come in because they were pretty much stacked from the year before. So they had one or two openings. I happened to get on there, and I was really fortunate to play most of the season with Bert Frizzell at center and Billy Lacane at left wing. So if you looked at the three of us, our stats, as a rookie, you can see why with leaders like Billy Lacane and Bert Frizzell had both of them been around a long time, the opportunities that I had playing with that line.
I always hear stories about how wild guys were off the ice. But on the ice, this was a tough league. The IHL in the 60s and 70s was a tough league, and you had to be a pretty serious player out on the ice if you wanted to continue your career because, like you said, there's always somebody waiting to take your job.
Oh, for that, number one, but number two, being a rookie, I can't remember all the players that were tough. Ivan Prediger, tough guys. They would come after the rookies, and that's normal no matter where you play. So for me, I had to play a fairly physical game to be able to compete.
It was a lot of fun, though. I mean,
it was a great season. You know, being a rookie, coming up there and coming from Western Canada, not knowing anybody, and pretty much on my own as a 21-year-old, having the opportunity to win the Turner Cup is quite an accomplishment for a rookie.
What do you remember about the playoffs or the Turner Cup in particular? Was there a moment that stood out for you?
Well, what happened when we got into the playoffs, they took me off the line of Billy Lacane, Fazell, and put Frank St. Marseille, who was a great hockey player. And I ended up playing with Tom Clark and Chuck Kelly. And we had a great series. We probably got as many points as anybody else in the two series that we played. So that showed that I still could play with other players other than the top two players. That plus the fact that we beat Muskegon, who was very strong. And then I can't remember, but I think we ended up playing Dayton. Do you know? in the finals?
I think it was Dayton, yeah.
I
know.
Sure.
We'll know. How much you want to bet? Hi, Donnie.
It was Dayton.
Hey, Donnie.
Bobby McCammon scored the overtime goal to clinch it. We beat him 4-1. But, Stucks, I just wanted to add this real quick, and I'm sure Franco will know these guys. You know, Dayton had a strong, strong club scoring-wise. They had Bobby Bailey, great big player. He scored 45 goals, had 87 assists that year. There was Guy Trache that led them. He had 68 goals. Can you imagine going against this type of team? They had Teddy Labota back on defense. I'm sure Frank remembers him. He's a very aggressive defenseman, very dirty. They had Pat Donnelly. He ended up with 42 goals, and Bob Regis had 40 goals that year. So you weren't playing a bad team. This was a very high-skilled Dayton gym team. They had Pat Rupp in the net, a Detroit Michigan boy. And we were tough on the back end also. But you know what? I was looking back. Gary Simmons played 20 games that year for us, goaltender. He ended up with the California Golden Seals.
Yes.
And Lloyd was a great playmaker. I'm sure Frank will tell you. We had Larry Mabendy back on defense, a very, very strong D-man back there, and Guy James. And it was a really exciting skating team. But, hey, I'm going to hang up and listen, but it was Dayton.
There you go. I knew Donnie would know.
Thanks, Donnie, for the call.
Yes, thanks, Frank.
If anybody's going to know who that was and who scored the winning goal, I knew it was going to be him. After your first year here in Port Huron, you went out to St. Louis for a year to play before you came back to the Flags again. Was this an opportunity for you to move up the ladder?
Well, I was owned by Chicago, all right, from the time I was about 16 years old. And because I had such a good season, they wanted me to move up to the Central Hockey League, which was six teams all sponsored by the NHL. So there was Chicago property then there. And I did have a good season there, and they thought I was capable of moving up. So that's why I ended up in St. Louis my second year of pro.
Came back to the Flags, though. And then you actually, after that, you spent quite a bit of time in the Eastern Hockey League. And I don't know how many people out there are familiar with the movie Slapshot. I think most hockey fans are. But basically, the Eastern Hockey League is what they call the Federal Hockey League in the movie.
It was much more physical than the IHL back then. It was a very, very tough league from 69 to 76.
And great players played in that league that nobody ever knows about or talks about, and the league doesn't get the due respect that it deserves. A few years ago, I've experienced three times in my career the player becoming the all-time highest goal scorer in minor league hockey because all three times it happened against Port Huron.
Oh, yeah?
Kevin Kerr did it, then a guy named Parsons did it, and then a guy named Robin Bouchard did it. And all of them had fewer goals than a couple of guys that played in the Eastern Hockey League. I want to say one guy's name was Roberge or something like that.
Roberge from Johnstown Jets.
Yeah. And they just, for whatever reason, they don't acknowledge his goals or what he accomplished in that league. And I think it's such a shame because when I look back at the names and at the numbers that some guys put up in that league, sensational, sensational hockey players.
He played, I think, close to 18 years down there. Good hockey player. Wasn't very big, but he knew how to put the puck in the net, and he must have had close to 2,000 points.
Yeah.
I mean, and he never did move up to the American League. At that time, he probably is close to the same age as I am. Never moved up the ladder. And there was a lot of hockey players back then were satisfied at playing at the lever, either at the I or the old Eastern League. They were happy in the city that they were. They loved the city. They ended up staying there, raising their kids and that. So back then, remember, there's only six teams in the NHL. It was really tough to move up the ladder.
You know, you spent some time in Charlotte. That's a beautiful, beautiful area. But I notice here you are in the Blue Water area. What is it that brought you back here?
My wife's originally from Port Huron. Actually, Kimball. Okay, I met her the second year I played up here. I have a daughter and a son that live in Marysville. Eight grandchildren, five of them living in Marysville. Four grandkids that live in the area. So the last three summers, we've been coming up from May to Thanksgiving, basically, spending the summers up here. And then when it gets cold, go back down to Delaware.
Not a bad option either. We're talking with Frank Golombrowski. I always got to double check so I don't say it wrong.
No, that's good. You're doing good.
Former member of the Flags. He's done some other things, too. If you got a few more minutes, can you
yes.
stick around?
Oh,
all right,
yes.
I'm going to take a break now, but we'll talk with Frank a little bit more when we come back, all right? Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. Dennis Stuckey joined here in hour number two of this Tuesday afternoon show with Frank Golombrowski. And Frank worked for USA Hockey for a while and was just telling me how you guys organized coaching clinics and worked with coaches. And I think something that has really changed over the years from when I was a little kid to what kids are getting now, like we've got the Bantam tournament coming in this weekend to McMorrin, and there'll be some really high-profile coaches at this event and guys that really know their stuff.
Yeah, USA Hockey started back in, I guess, about the 90s, but I came on board in 94 as a instructor for USA Hockey for the Atlantic District, which was Philadelphia, Jersey, Delaware. And primarily, any person that wants to coach with USA Hockey and the youth programs from mites all the way up to 18U's, I have to go through our clinics, and they have to qualify at a specific age group. And our program is designed to be teaching mite coaches how to work with mite kids that are 6 to 8 years old, and then parents that were interested in coaching 18U kids, we would teach them on their personnel, more so of the growth pattern, not so much the X's and O's, mm-hmm. but how to treat a 16-year-old and not treat them like an 8-year-old. And I thought US Hockey has done a great job over the last 20 years with that program, making it mandatory that any parent that wants to coach has to go through our program.
You know, you also have been involved in refereeing for a long, long time. This is not an easy job, and even if you do a good job, there isn't anybody that's going to let you know it. How do you deal with that? I mean, that's you've really got to have thick skin, especially in minor hockey, because a lot of parents don't know. All they know is their kid plays, so their kid can't do anything wrong, and it must be the ref who's an idiot.
Well, that's true about the parents and that, but because of USA Hockey educating the coaches and the parents, they've become much better than they were 20 years ago. It was a good learning experience for me, too, because I saw the game in a different perspective as a player, as a referee, and as a coach, because I did a lot of coaching over the years. And those three aspects of the game are completely different. Your mindset's different. But it made me a better person because I was able to do all three of those.
Outstanding. Hey, Frank, we really appreciate this. I'm sorry the first time around we couldn't get you in here, but glad that we finally got you on the show. We'll definitely have to have you back when you're up in the area.
Not a problem. My pleasure, and let's have a good hockey season.
Yes, let's do that indeed. We can never get enough hockey. Love hockey. And you said you'll be out this weekend at the tournament, so I may bump into you out there as well.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. There is Frank Golombrowski, a former port here on Flag, and he's been involved with USA Hockey, and a lot of fun to reminisce with him. We'll take a break, and then we'll be down the home stretch here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. About a half hour to go here on this Tuesday afternoon.